All right, we're going to be, let's do this. Rob Astorino is here with us. We're going to clump up some commercials on the other end of this half hour because I know, Rob, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I know you're extremely busy in the wake of what has to be extraordinary news for you and your campaign. Welcome to the show, Rob Astorino.
Lisa, always good to hear your voice. Good to be back with you. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy times in New York, and this was a long time coming. You know, there were so many issues against Andrew Cuomo that preceded the sexual harassment that actually drove him out of office. And some would argue far more important or worse. Of course, 15,000 deaths, you know, from his executive order and the cover-up of that and the personal gain from that of $5 million on a book deal based on lies, I would argue is a lot worse than the sexual harassment, which is bad in and of itself. But all of that was just the house of cards that took him down. But I would argue also that his report card as a governor should have never given him a fourth term because he has just completely and utterly mismanaged the COVID crisis and accelerated the decline of New York State. And the proof of that is how, you know, is the number of people that have left this state. Over a million people in his term have fled. And you don't leave a place where you love or you're happy or content or you're working. And they're going. And they're going in record numbers. And businesses are fleeing. So just on his report card as governor, he never should have been reelected. But obviously, you know, he has to leave with his head down because of all these other things.
So, Rob Astorino, let me ask you this. This is a sort of a smaller sub-issue, but the Tappan Zee Bridge, which has been renamed the Cuomo Bridge, I've gotten a bunch of emails and phone calls asking me to talk about or advocate to change the bridge's name back. Number one, if anybody wanted to do that, could that be done, and how would that be done?
Yes, it, first of all, never should have been changed, and I was vehemently opposed to the name change to the Cuomo Bridge. And let's be honest, the reason why he named it after his dad, who had zilch to do with the building of that bridge or of the Hudson Valley, the Cuomos are from Queens. So I always said, if you want to honor your dad, and I'm not opposed to, you know, Governor Mario Cuomo getting some sort of park named after him, or, you know, every other governor basically has something. But do it where it's appropriate. Do it somewhere in New York City where the Cuomos are from, or specifically in Queens. But this was just a vain way of getting Cuomo's name on that bridge, and it would become the Cuomo Bridge, and everyone would think it's Andrew Cuomo. The way it was done is the way it has to be redone, and that was by the legislature. It was a dirty deal, literally in the middle of the night. Nobody knew about it. There was no discussion. And like at 3 in the morning when they were doing this massive budget bill, he told the leaders, and unfortunately, as has been the case in too many times, the Republicans who were leading the charge in the Senate went along with this. I'm so excited I can't even talk. And unfortunately, the legislature has to rename it back because it was done by legislation. I do think it can be done. I would advocate, I have been advocating, and it was something that not only I talked about then, but I'm talking about now and will do as governor.
So let's hear about your gubernatorial campaign. You are running for the Republican nomination. Is Lee Zeldin still in the race? Is it between the two of you in terms of a contest for who will get the nomination?
I'm sure there's going to be a primary. At least at this point, there will be. You know, the congressman has said that he's in it. I think he has a real tough decision to make at some point, though. And he said he's all in, so I take him at his word. I think it's tough to leave Congress when the House is going to go back to being Republican, more than likely. And he would have a great leadership role. But he's willing to give that up, so that's up to him. You know, I have said from the beginning that I'm in no matter what, 100%. And having done this in 14, got closer to Cuomo than anyone ever imagined, and the closest race he's ever had in all 7 statewide races, I held him to 54% when the polls had us losing by 40. And That was at the height of his popularity. So the things I've been talking about, like the corruption, I mean, this is not news to me. I called him out in 14 and even earlier that he was corrupt. The Buffalo Billion, which was this scheme that literally was $1 billion in state money to try to, quote, rebuild Western New York, was going to be the wrong way, and it was going to lead to corruption. And it did. And I got a lot of flack in 14 when I criticized that, because even from Republicans, because they just wanted the free money. But I saw what steps 2 and 3 would lead to. The Moreland Commission, which was looking at corruption in New York, the moment it started turning towards him and the breadcrumbs led to his office, he shut it down.
He shut it down, and they got away with shutting it down. His so-called brother, Joseph Rococo, served time in jail. Everybody around him circling the wagons was either accused or convicted of corruption, and he shut down the commission that accused them because they were getting too close to him. I remember I was at WFAS. It was unbelievable, Rob.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep. And only in New York can the Anti-Corruption Commission be corrupted. That's exactly what happened.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know the bad part of this, Lisa, is for too long, the Republicans and Democrats have acquiesced, have turned a blind eye, or have benefited from the corruption in Albany that was led by Cuomo. His bullying tactics, they weren't called out by anybody. I was the one and a few others. But for the most part, it was the leadership and the rank and file that were kind of playing footsie with him, and they all benefited. And I was calling it out back then when there was crickets. Now, of course, it's easy to pile on because it's a political thing to do. But I caught heat going after my own party back then, and it was the right thing to do. And think about the triumvirate. You have Cuomo, who is leaving in disgrace in 12 days. You have Dean Skelos, who was the majority leader of the state Senate, a Republican, who was convicted and is in jail. And the former Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, who was corrupt, convicted, and served time. Those three ran New York State into the ground, and all two of them did time, and the third, Cuomo, may end up doing time.
Do you think that anybody will prosecute him going forward? Because on these allegations, they're thin in terms of going to criminal. Do you think there's something, in my view, do you think that there's something else that will be continued to be dug at and dug up that will haunt Andrew Cuomo after office?
Well, you know, when you target a person looking for a crime, as the Democrats loved to do for 4 years when Donald Trump was there, and, you know, when due process meant nothing and it was believe all women and accusations meant you were guilty, that was their playbook that they wrote. And now they have to live with it. And that's why we have a system of justice that should be blind. And I've said, you know, people should be presumed innocent. And they went after Kavanaugh. They went after Trump, Letitia James, who is our attorney general, who may very well run for governor now. She's the one that did the report on Cuomo. She got elected. She ran on, I will go after Donald Trump. I will find crimes. That is the wrong way and the dangerous way of doing things in our country. So now the tables are turned. And I don't know if the sexual harassment stuff is criminal. It could be a civil problem for him. But I do think the cover-up, the obstruction of justice on the executive order, when the Justice Department requested information and they basically stonewalled them and they got caught admitting it. And then the state resources using state employees on state time to help write that book where he benefited, that could all be criminal. And I do think that they need to take this and follow it through, whether he's there or not, because anyone associated with this, they have to pay the price, because otherwise it'll just be another New York scandal with a quick resignation. And then we rinse and repeat and do it again. And that can't happen. We've had the last three governors leave, two resignations and one with a cloud of scandal over him. So he didn't run. That was Patterson. But Spitzer and now Cuomo resigned. I mean, how much more are New Yorkers willing to put up with this? It's just it's sad, but it's also the kind of the government we get based on who we vote for. And I do think we do need balance in New York. We need balance in Connecticut, right? And I think one-party rule has proven to be disastrous. We see what's happening in D.C. We see what's happening in Albany and in Hartford. We see what's happening in our cities. One-party rule, and specifically Democratic Party rule, is disastrous for the rule of law. It's disastrous for wherever you live, and it certainly has driven up crime, and the middle class always, always gets screwed.
Let me ask you this, Rob Astorino, before you have to go. I want to talk about energy for just a moment. One of the, I thought, unsung, uninvestigated decisions of the Cuomo administration was forcing the premature closing of Indian Point Power Plant without coming up with a substitute solution. Indian Point, I believe, contributed up to 25% of the energy required for the New York State metropolitan area. And all the coal plants have been shut down. And I understand coal is being shut down around the country, and we understand that we have to move away from fossil fuels. I get that. Nuclear is not a fossil fuel, and it was an old plant, and many people wanted it to be closed. But nonetheless, my understanding is that Andrew Cuomo's solution for the energy power needs for New York State are hydroelectric dams coming from Canada, as opposed to other things. And I'm wondering what your energy policy would be as governor. How are you going to cobble together, you know, a future-looking climate change kind of energy policy for New York? What would you do?
If I could, I would flip the switch back on for Indian Point. It was the safest nuclear reactors in the United States of America. And it always had the safest rating. It was the most scrutinized nuclear power plant in the world, probably, because it was a political hot potato. So the NRC was constantly there and always gave it its green rating. You're right. It was 25% of our power, clean energy. So
clean energy.
When he unilaterally fought and basically shut them down by harassing them with state, you know, agencies and basically forcing Entergy to leave, then I said, okay, you've got to go through the process, the legal process, and do an environmental impact statement, which would have answered all of those questions. What are the mitigating factors economically for the community? Because there was a lot of taxes and payments in lieu of taxes, a lot of jobs. What about the energy replacement? Where is that coming from? All of those things that are required by state law, they were waived. They unilaterally waive them. They have no right to do that. So when I called them out on this in 2017, I asked for Democrats and environmentalists and Bobby Kennedy and Riverkeeper and everybody else to stand with me to demand that this process be played out. And nobody did. They were all a bunch of hypocrites. So I couldn't even get my county board, which they were Democrats, to sign on to a lawsuit to protect our county. They wouldn't even do that. So I had to get a law firm, which did it pro bono. We filed a lawsuit, and unfortunately, when I left office, that ended up going away. But those questions should have been answered, because right now you lost 25% of the energy. You have rising demand. You have pipelines, which would bring another clean source, natural gas. We have a moratorium on that right now because the pipelines are being blocked by Cuomo and the Democrats. So you can't get that to where it's needed in New York City and the suburbs. So it's pure idiocy, and it's detrimental, and it's another reason why businesses are leaving, because the high cost of energy, but also the lack of. So, you know, all these things need to be rethought. And again, if I had the power, and maybe I will have the power to influence, if not Entergy, and it won't be them, but maybe somebody else to come in there and flip the switch back on.
Rob Astorino, thank you very much for coming on. You're welcome on the show all the time. Good luck in what promises to be a very exciting race now for governor of the state of New York. Do you know Kathy Hochul personally? Have you met her in your cross-country places around the state? Have you ever met her?
Yeah, I've met Kathy Hochul. She's from Western New York. She is a little bit of a different breed. It's going to be interesting because she's not from the New York City Democratic machine. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. And I can't imagine they're going to clear the field for her. I imagine there'll be at least five or six Democrats that are going to want to you know, take her on in a primary, and that will be fun to watch from my perspective. And whoever it is, you know, it will be, and I'll be ready, because I think it doesn't matter if it's Kathy Hochul or Tish James or Bill de Blasio or whomever, replacing one failed Democrat with another failed Democrat and their policies is just going to be the same decline of New York, just with a different look.
Rob Astorino, thanks so much for being on the Lisa Wexler Show this morning. We'll have you back on again. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you, Lisa. Take care.
Rob Astorino, who is running for governor of the great state of New York. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.